Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey, before we start the show, let me take a moment to tell you about a cool gadget I've been using lately called the No-No Pro. As you probably know, I'm kind of a hippie. Waxing is not my thing, and I mean, truly, razors only work real short term. So when I do want to landscape, the No-No Pro has been a really fun gadget and a great way to remove hair from secret and not so secret places with no pain. So whether it's your legs, your arms, face, bikini area, wherever, it's easy to use with weeks of long lasting results. The No-No Pro comes with 100% 60-day money-back guarantee when you purchase, so if you're curious, you can totally give it a try. You'll also get a $50 gift card to an award-winning skincare line. So, go to nonosandra.com. Yes, it's true. nonosandra.com. Anyway, onward to the show!
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra Podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
Well, hello there. Are you on Team Fun? I think you are, maybe. Hey, this episode I will be talking to Jackie Cation, a hilarious, wonderful comedian and the host of The Dork Forest, which is delightful. If you haven't listened to it, I highly recommend it. I learned many things during this episode. One is that Jackie has the most adorable laugh. I don't know. I just listening back to the episode, I'm like, yeah, I was just every time I made her laugh, I like felt like I'd won something. Like, yeah. So that was just a slight little secret joy for me. This was also an interesting episode because I got to do something that I never really thought I could do, which is I listened to her comedy album, This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux. And then I got to, you know, because you hear comedians make jokes about different aspects of sex and love. And then I got to ask her in-depth questions about those jokes and kind of like digging into like the actual stories and things behind them. So definitely check out her album. We'll chat about it in a little bit. But I truly am just so grateful that she was willing to just open up and chat about her experience with how she and her husband got together, marriage, sex and marriage, a lot of intimate relationship things. It's just a rad conversation. And I blame her for all the awesome. So before we get right into it, let me tell you about some events going on in the next couple months for Los Angeles, Portland, and DC. Okay, so this is coming out at the end of June, and this Friday, I will be telling in Los Angeles, June 27th, for the Body Storytelling's Seven Deadly Sins show. Which cardinal sin do you think I chose? Lust, you say? Ha! Not even close. Sloth. My friends, I chose sloth. It's going to be great. Body code, if you type in sex nerd, all one word, you'll get $5 off in case you want to come out on Friday. It's going to be great. Okay, Portland. Hey, Portland, how's it going? I will be in Portland July 17th, which is a Thursday. It's going to be at Dante's Live, and I will be talking to the wildly popular Erica Moen, who created Oh Joy Sex Toy, this amazing sex toy review webcomic, but also like sex ed and like kind of lingus tips and all this stuff. And she just had a great Kickstarter. Anyway, we will be having quite the conversation live for your viewing pleasure in Portland. If you know people in Portland, if you're around, please come out. It's $12. It's at 8 p.m. Go to dantesLive.com at the calendar and you can click on the link and buy a ticket. I hope to see you there. And then Sunday, July 20th, I will be teaching Boning 101 at Shebop in Portland. It's $20 at 7:30 p.m. And I think space is pretty limited, so definitely get on that. Shebopthshop.com for tickets and details. Now, Los Angeles. I have an announcement. It's very exciting. I'm ready to tell you that the Los Angeles Academy of Sex Ed is opening. Yeah, that's right. A space specifically for classes and events and things. And I've been working with them to figure out like how I can be involved. And so I get to teach the very first class. It's Tuesday, July 22nd, right on the heels of Portland. I land, I come over there, and at 7:15 p.m., I get to teach my blowjob class called Balls Deep, The Fundamentals of Fellatio. That's right. So it's $25 online. The location is in Hollywood. You should check it out at laacademyofsex.com. Very limited seats on that, so please get on it. And it's going to be a great class. Balls deep. Washington, D.C. Hi, how's it going? I will be in you in August. First of all, well, okay, look. I'm going to Reed Mihalko's Sex Geek Summer Camp. I'll be doing some talking there. I don't know why you're listening to this, but I know a significant portion of listeners tell me about how they want to go and do sex ed, whether they want to be a podcaster, an entertainer, or a teacher, or a therapist, or a doctor, or a sex-positive accountant. I don't know. But Sex Geek Summer Camp is for people who want to integrate this into their careers. And I'm excited because there's a need for that, because a lot of people who want to go into this field have a lot of interest in healing and knowledge, but they're not as great at the business part. So please, if you're inspired, come out, come out. It's August 9th through the 13th. I will be landing in D.C. and there will be a bus taking us to the camp spot. Yes, we're camping as well, which is awesome. Oh, there's cabins, though, if you don't like camping. Anyway, go to my special link for you at sexnerdsandra.com to let them know that you found out about it through me. Okay, enough singing. Also, when I get back to D.C. from August 14th through 17th, I will be at the Woodhull Freedom Summit. And I'm probably teaching a class and podcasting and all that live, but I haven't gotten that far yet. Busy. Okay. All the things. So let's get right into my interview with Jackie Cation. Ugh, delightful. Hi, Jackie Cation.
Hi, how's it going?
Slightly intimidated.
Why not?
Oh, okay. Be intimidated. Yes, I know. I am intimidating. It's hard. It'd be so funny if people were intimidated by me.
You don't think they are?
I can't imagine. Why would they?
Because you're cool and stuff?
Oh, right. That would imply that I would know that I was cool and stuff, so oh. I don't think I know that how cool I am.
Oh, well,
I'm pretty sure I don't know how cool I am.
You're super... I mean, you host a podcast called The Dork Forest.
I host a podcast called The Dork Forest, so...
I mean, it's a little on the dork. Do you consider yourself kind of... Like, what is your confidence level when, like, around people are like, I'm definitely better than everybody else here? Are you like, oh, do I, like, are you...
Well,
like-
I never know, like, I'm not, I never feel very good with strangers, and I don't know how to, I feel like I don't know how to talk to people, but I look around me, and I hang out with mostly comedians, so I'm better than most of them. Because they are not particularly good at it. You know, we're all just, it's a parade of Asperger's victims. We're all just fighting a wind of autism.
I'm fascinated by that, actually.
Yeah.
When I'm around comedians, I generally have a sense that I should run away because I don't fit in. Like, I want to because everybody's having such a good time and everyone's so weird and I like weird so much.
Right.
But I'm just like, I'm nah.
Right, but we're all just a bunch, it's the island of misfit toys. So we're all just like, well, I want to talk to you, but you are a John in the box or whatever, and I am an elephant without any tusks or whatever. I mean, you're just like, everybody
Aww.
Is, right? I mean, everybody is just sort of a different toy that doesn't feel like you should play with the other toy, except for that we're all kind of the misfit toy, so we should all be on the same island and just hang out. Though my least favorite thing is... between misfit toys, quite honestly, is the trying to out-depress one another. Have you ever meet somebody who's like, no, my life is a bigger shithole than your life? And you're like, yeah, you win. I'm not playing that game. Because if I wallow in what is not great about my life, to prove to you that, no, your life is great.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that game. It's my least favorite game among all showbiz people. I don't know if it happens in other businesses. Probably. It's like, no, I lost this job, or I don't have work in July, or I don't know, I have a day job. And
Like a self-pity party?
Yeah, it's a total pity party where they're like, they want you to get them away from how sad they are.
Oh, they want you to cheer them up with something worse? Is that how it works?
No, they want you to cheer them up with, no, you're great, it's going to be fine. But what I end up doing, because I am very competitive, is trying to out, no, your life doesn't suck, my life sucks more. I used to play it more often. Now I do not play it at all. I will not play.
Okay, I didn't know that this was a game. Sometimes it just bums me out when that happens. I didn't realize. You're helping me survive in this world right now. You're this giving me tools.
Yes, tell them that you don't want to play that game. That's a horrible game, because that's a game where two people are depressed at the end of it.
Okay.
Sad game. You win. You get to be in the biggest hellhole. You win. Congratulations, I say to people. I don't want to play.
Huh.
I actually don't say that, because that I would have to have that conversation. But I just tend to just kind of hang out.
Okay, and so I did listen to your...
My new album?
Yes, your very enjoyable...
This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux, now available on iTunes and on JackieCation.com.
In my mind, that's exactly how you were saying it.
Oh, okay. Right.
I mean, just like, I was like, all right, yeah. All right. And maybe more awe.
Aw.
Just like, well... I was a Harry Potter fan.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah.
Hardwick asked me the other day, he was like, no, a Horcrux, you'd have to kill somebody. And I was like, and comedians kill, don't they? I destroy every time I get up there.
Ooh.
Boom.
Ooh.
Huh? That's the pun. In addition to, but that album is also a lot more personal than the previous album, so it's less about my dad and my brothers and more about me. Me, 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 me.
Oh, God. I mean, talking about my family is, I mean, well, it's also a boundary in terms of, because I talk about sex, and that's weird, talking about my family when I talk about sex. It's a little weird. But I really enjoyed it, and I'm fascinated. Do you mind if I ask you a lot of questions about
marriage and stuff? Please ask me a lot of questions. Just scrabble around inside. Are you married?
I am not married.
Are you with a partner?
I am with a partner.
A loved one?
A little over a year.
Oh, that's nice.
That is nice. And yeah. I have a history of serial monogamy.
Okay.
I
like a serial monogamist. Mm-hmm. It's better than a serial polygamist. And just from going, you know, you're just like, we're not done yet, but I need another one on deck.
Well, I'll be fully honest. Oh, will I be fully honest? I have to be fully honest. I do identify polyamorous, but at the same time... I know there's a lot of people who are not doing it respectfully or well.
Well, yeah, if you are polyamorous in a relationship where everyone knows that is what something you lean to, because my husband and I have discussed it. He was with a woman who wanted to see other men, and when we started going out, he told me about that, and I said, I don't want to see other men. I don't ideally want you to see other women. I said, I don't have a lot of ultimatums that I can give you, because when you give someone an ultimatum, you have to be willing to follow through with it.
Yeah.
And I was so much in love with him that I didn't know that I would follow through with any ultimatum I gave him.
Ah.
So.
That's a good point about ultimatums.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It's because the thing is, I'm like, you have to do this or I will do that is a valid thing. Very bossy, but a valid thing to say as long as you're willing to do that.
Right.
Right?
Huh, that takes a lot of strength.
That's your boundary, right?
Yeah. It feels a little invasive to ask this, but on your album you'd mentioned that he was your first boyfriend.
Right. I had had sort of a half-assed boyfriend that I was mean to in college when I first started doing stand-up comedy. So that boyfriend, we were boyfriend-girlfriend for about a year and a half. 6 months into it, I knew I didn't want to be with him. He's a really good guy, really nice guy. I was a really drunk, mean girlfriend. And so it took another year for him to realize that I did not want to be his. Because I didn't know how to break up either. I was 19. He was probably 23. And he was a comic. I don't recommend that.
I dated a comic once.
Did you lose your virginity to a comic?
No, oh, no.
Good idea.
No, no.
Good idea. Anyway, it's not that it wasn't funny. Anyway, he's a very nice man. Anyway, but yeah, but he was my only boyfriend. And then I was like, oh, well, I guess you do stand-up comedy, you don't have a boyfriend. None of the women comics I knew had boyfriends. They would just get laid. And all of the male comics I knew who had girlfriends cheated on them.
Ooh.
And so I was like, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
And I don't want a girlfriend. So so all of those three things conspired to me getting very good at stand-up comedy and not having a boyfriend.
Do you consider yourself a late bloomer? In that you were like late 30s when you started dating.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Late bloomer. The fact that I didn't... Late bloomer in everything. I mean, more and more now, people grow up and they don't know... how to do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, well, I'm 28 and I still live with my parents, but I'm going to get my shit together any minute now. Mm-hmm. And you're like, and no one blinks twice. Mm-hmm. But, like, I didn't know how to be a friend until mm-hmm. I was about 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how
that to... early? I'm still figuring it out.
Well, I mean, it's an ongoing process.
Okay.
Right? But, I mean, like, the thing is I remember when I was 14, one of the teachers said to me, they said, well, why don't you go hang out with your friends? And I said, well, I don't have any friends. Mm-hmm. In a very, very dramatic 14-year-old way. And she said, well, you know, Jackie, to have friends, you have to be friendly. It is the first step to having friends is to be friendly. And so I never was. I was always very much a loner and very standoffish and always reading a little book and hiding from people. Mm-hmm. So... that was not friendly. Hmm. So once she said that, it was like a light bulb went off. And I was like,
I see.
Okay, I'm going to put the book down and I'm going to try to engage. Mm-hmm. And once I did that, I have two friends from high school that I still have one of them. Very exciting. And it's been 30 years, right? So, and then I went to college and I still have all of those friends from college, most of them. And then I have my comedy friends. Who are great.
Okay.
So I have a lot of friends now because I learned how to be a friend. But I never had a boyfriend. And so I never knew how to hit on men. And I never knew in stand-up comedy. Because everything I learned about relationships, I learned from stand-up comics.
Which is the worst. I'm realizing to avoid being that cliche of the woman that gets joked about all the time.
Right.
I've had to, like, do all these things, and I don't want to reference... I mean, like, I want to go buy her album, but, you know, also...
right.
I don't
but it's
wanna...
true. There's, like, there's... You know, I do the joke about the three main jokes that guys tell about their wives, and sometimes they are funny, and many times they are not, and they are the same three jokes. So that's what I didn't do. You know, you don't want to do everything that guys have... You're like, oh, guys don't like to be asked what they're thinking about. So I never asked Andy what he was thinking about. Mm-hmm. Guys don't like it when you nag. So, you know, you spend a good portion of your time not figuring out how to ask them to do things, but not... You're like, I don't even want to... Why do I have to ask you to do something? Mm-hmm. Well, I thought we were roommates with benefits, right? Mm-hmm. So you should probably do your half of the chores, and it's not that big of a deal.
Okay, but...
But even my
has
friends...
Has that worked out? Learning... It's like learning to have sex from porn... I think learning to be in relationships through stand-up comedy. Has that worked? Like, I having never been married and valuing long-term partnership and things that work, tell me about what you've learned along your journey.
Well, I'll tell you something. The fact is those premises, sometimes they're real, and they do help to some extent, you know? I mean, I am very aware... how does the joke go? It's like, women, you stop having sex once you get married. Women are always spending all your money and women are bitches. Mm-hmm. And then there's the, bossy magoo when you're driving. And then there's, you stop hearing what's being said to you once you're in a certain amount of time. And then there's this new one where I was thinking about where you don't ask guys what they're thinking about because they're not thinking about anything. Why you gotta ask everybody? And so those, what is that, six things? I've actually been very effective. I am conscious, you know, I want to have sex as much as anybody. So I am also aware that he would want to have, you know, I'm like, so we want to have sex, right? Do we want to have sex? We want to have sex on a regular basis. And so we both make time and make it possible. And so the sex is good. And so because, to some extent, because of that joke, because I am aware that he wants to have sex and I'm aware now that I want to have sex. So let's make sure we're both getting enough sex.
Okay, that sounds way healthier than what I was imagining.
Oh, okay.
What I was imagining is, oh, I don't want to be that girl. I'd better just have sex.
Oh, even if I don't want to?
Yeah, kind of like, save for the marriage, you know?
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. Because once you get married, women stop having sex with you all the time or
but
whatever.
But it sounds like it's from, like, a real, like, authentic place of, wait, oh, I want to have sex too. Or, like, let's say, what if, you know, for a time your sex...
Drive us down. Like, if I don't feel like having sex and he wants to have sex, I say, well, you have an opportunity here to convince me to have sex. and he's like, I am on that task. Let's do it. And so, you know, and I've had to, you know, because sometimes he is tired. And I'm like, I know you're tired. Let's work on, I would like to have sex. And he's like, well, this is your golden opportunity to convince me to have sex. And so we do that, you know, but what the joke did do is it allowed for the dialogue.
Yeah.
So it has that going for it, right? That's exciting. And so, and the second joke was money. So I try not to spend his money because once you get married, women spend all your money. And so, and for many years, he made more money than I did because he has a real job and it's all very exciting. And he's a game designer.
Yeah.
And so I'm making more money these days, not than him, but more money than I was. But I, you know, I spent a good portion of my time trying not to spend his money. And
but is there a conversation there about, you know, what money means to both of you?
Yes.
It's not just like, I'm going to avoid the topic and I'm not going to spend any money.
Right. That's a terrible idea.
Okay, because that's, I think, what some people do. But you are clearly smarter.
Well, I'm clearly using the tools of stand-up comedy, not just using them as a battering ram to my own psyche, but as a tool to say, there is a joke that I'm going to spend all your money. Here's the thing. You have more money. We're gonna live together. If you would like to live not in squalor, we're gonna have to use more of your money than my money because there is more of it. What I promise to do is to not sit around and eat bonbons and ask you for a 3-carat diamond and be an asshat about money, right? And not be a jerk about money. And say, oh, you don't make enough money to keep me in the style to which I've become accustomed. I'm gonna say, I do want to go out to dinner. I don't want to not go out to dinner, but I don't have any money.
Yeah.
We're going to be spending your money. And he's been like, yeah, you realize when we got married, half of my money is your money. And I'm like, right, but let's be respectful about, you know, the money. Because there is, money is finite, you know? I mean, I have friends who, there's not enough, a guy couldn't make enough money.
It just keeps going down a hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just feels, I mean, I know where sometimes guys, that joke sometimes comes from a place of, there was a guy that I worked with in the Dakotas one time. Mm-hmm. What a maroon. Seven days.
Maroon.
He's a moron.
Oh.
And so he was so bad. We spent 14 hours, 1,400 miles rather, 1,400 miles driving a week where he spent the whole time just trying to button push. And he was like, well, you're whatever. And it just, he didn't hit on me. It wasn't ever gross. It wasn't ever sexual or weird. Every night, though, he would do a show, and he would do what he called a half an hour of male bashing and 15 minutes of female bashing. Except for that the half hour of male bashing was about how guys like to have a remote, and they like to drink beer, and they like to just be dudes, man. And the female bashing was entirely women don't have sex with you, women are spend all your money, and they're bitches. And so by the end of the week...
Oh, that's so imbalanced. That's, yeah.
Right. It was so much meaner, that last 15 minutes. So by the end of the week, I said to him, I was like, who do you date if women are such assholes? And he's like, well, my girlfriend's a stripper. And I was like, okay, maybe if you dated... You date strippers, you're going to find out that they're oftentimes interested in drugs and money. You date librarians, maybe you would tell jokes about how women read too much. Because it's...
He has a very specific dating pool, and he...
Of people. And so there are men who choose women who are not the nicest women, is what I'm saying. They're not the nicest people. Because in any relationship...
They extrapolate for everyone.
Right. Like, you're dating that woman. That woman is a woman who is all of the horrible things you say that women are. But she is not every woman. All women are not gold diggers in your hilarious parlance. All women are not bitches. All women are not nags. And all women are not, don't sleep around when you're not there. So
it's not even all strippers. It's just like...
Just women in general, right? I mean, just very specific bad ladies, right? But there are women who do jokes about guys who are all dogs, you know? They're all sleeping around on their women. They hit them, and they're constantly belittling them. And I'm like, stop dating that guy.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, no, they're all guys. And I was like, just because you've dated three of that guy doesn't mean that all guys are that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fascinated by, because I mean, I'm sure you have those friends, the friends who always tend to date the same type of person, even though it doesn't work over and over, and they don't try and change or explore themselves or where those motivations come from. They just keep doing it and then keep thinking.
It's the definition of insanity, to do the same thing over and over again, hoping the result will change.
Oh, man.
That is the definition of insanity. You're like, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stick this fork in my cheek, and but it's not going to hurt this time. And you're like, what? No, why would you think that? And so, but I mean, so yes, there are crazy people that create those jokes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I've heard that joke so many times.
And it permeates writers' rooms and TV shows and movies. Oh, yeah. And then, I don't know, I guess it's just... I try a little too hard, I think, personally. Mm-hmm. And I have friends, and I've been in, like, women's groups where it's like the conversation becomes like, God, it's like there's nothing we can do to not be the crazy girl. Like, we're just constantly trying. So,
right.
But you see, it seem like you have a much healthier...
Right. Well, so for years I would try to... I would have crushes on the funniest, smartest comics in the land who were also the biggest messes.
Hmm.
You know? You can have a crush on Mitch Hedberg.
Mm-hmm.
If Mitch Hedberg is your boyfriend... In my case, it would not have worked out. And luckily, Mitch Hedberg never wanted to date this. He was not into this. And granted, I think he had a wife when we met. But I had a giant crush on him. He's mm-hmm. the kind of guy where it would be a guy who's super, super funny. But he's also, you know, addicted to drugs or alcohol or you know, is just out of his fucking mind.
His gosh darn brain.
Right. And I would go through... Those would be the guys that I would have crushes on. And luckily, thank God, none of those guys were ever interested in me.
What happened? So, what did you do? Lots of therapy?
No.
Did you do peyote? What did you do?
Well, what I would do is I would just get laid with their friends.
Mm-hmm.
I would sleep with the guy adjacent to them.
Uh-huh.
And that guy was happy enough. And then I got a tune-up and we all worked out. And but the weird thing is that when I decided, it was probably 12 years ago now, that I wanted a boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
thank God online dating was invented.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way I would hit on men, mm-hmm. would I would stand next to them, mm-hmm. and I would try to use my powers of telekinesis to get him to ask me out. And generally, he thought I was having an aneurysm. And no one would ever ask me out because they never knew that I liked them. Right? I mean, it was like, you think about that kid in Isla Vista who shot up the Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
That kid was like, nobody knows that I like them. And you know that kid didn't hit on anybody. His mm-hmm. idea of hitting on somebody was him just standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, you're going to need to be friendly if you're going to have friends.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's very hard and it's very sad.
Yeah.
You know? So online dating was great because it's a drop-down menu mm-hmm. option. And now there's clarity of intent, right?
Like, I know, I mean, there's a whole wonderful sequence about your, is that called a call, joke stuff, sequences?
Some bits and some
bits!
Sequences. Yeah, there you go.
That's what you people call
That's
it.
That's what we call them. We call them bits.
About the dating ritual, the experience of it. But I have a question. I mean, was it an immediate click? I mean, late bloomer, hadn't really had many boyfriends before.
You know, Bamford asked me that, too, because she did online dating, and she's like, so if you don't like a guy immediately, do you go out with him again? Because I did it for 3 years. I did online dating.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to take a break after a couple of months. Because, you know, and it wasn't that many guys. Over 3 years, I probably met 20 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, you know, I probably only met 7 to 10 of them
mm-hmm.
in real, like face to face. Because mm-hmm. it would fall apart in the email situation.
Uh-huh.
And I was probably 2 years into it. And I decided that if I wasn't disgusted... And it didn't have to be love at first sight, and it didn't have to be an immediate attraction. It just had to be an openness, a willingness.
Mm-hmm.
So when I met my husband, I thought he was really nice,
mm-hmm.
and I thought he was really funny, and I thought he was smart. And I was like, oh, well, let's try this again.
There's no spark.
It wasn't a, like, oh my God.
Right? Or like that little, like any sort of tickle in your, you know, belly button area, like any kind of butterfly situation.
I don't remember. I mean, I know that it was not, I must have felt, you know, I mean, I was not offended. I don't know. It wasn't, people are like, oh my God, if I'm not turned on by the guy the first time I meet him.
Right.
And you're like, why don't you meet the person behind the dick? Mm-hmm. That'll be great.
Yeah.
Because that guy has a set of equipment that you're going to want to be part of, no doubt. That's great. But if he's a giant jackass, or what if he's a really good guy? And it's just going to take you... I mean, because just think about how many male friends of yours you have
mm-hmm.
that... Or this has been my experience, is I've had friends... Because I would meet guys, and I would meet them as people.
Mm-hmm.
And I would forget that I'm supposed to be meeting every person as a potential lover.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what we are raised to think. Every man must be a potential lover. And I would meet people like people.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'd be 3 months and we'd be hanging out and I'd be like, oh man, he's so cute.
Mm-hmm.
I like him. And then I would get a crush on that guy and the window would have closed.
Oh, wait, you were saying something that is big in my brain right now. I've never thought about that people generally, it's that the window closes because we're all
right.
checking each other out at
right.
first. But that's how I usually will date. Is that I just spend time with someone and slowly it's like, wait a minute, this person's
right.
kind of...
This is handsome. I enjoy what's happening over there. That's, I think, a better way to do it than to wait for this some sort of weird blow of, oh my God, I gotta go change my pants. You know, you're just like, that's not...
But you said that, but then also you didn't actually actively go and date until you...
We're
until your online
30s.
Dating.
Yeah.
So even though you wanted to, so when you would meet each person, it was, you're just like, oh, you're a person. It wasn't like...
No, when the greatest thing about online dating was that I knew going in that we were supposed to flirt and that this would be a possible dating situation.
Like the structure of it was...
The structure of it was so great that you're like, no, this guy seems great. He's a Latin teacher down in Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
That's neat. Mm-hmm. And then we met... at a coffee shop, and I was like, yeah, you live too far away. And so it was like, you're all right looking, but it's not happening. Or I liked him, or he didn't like me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all very, it just seemed like, otherwise I would just meet, like before it was, hey, I'm looking for a boyfriend. I would just meet people, like mm-hmm. comics, a lot of comics, right? You meet them at open mic. Mm-hmm. You meet them at shows. Or you meet guys after shows, and you're like, hey, how's it going? And and then you just talk to them, and you're like, well, what are you reading? I don't know. Did you like that movie? And so you're just talking to them like people,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, oh, you're kind of interesting. And then you see them like 19 more times, and like the seventh time you see them, you're like, you know, that guy's kind of cute. I wonder if he'd want to be my boyfriend. But he's now looking at the woman that he just met as a potential girlfriend or a potential little lover.
God, that's a whole series of questions to people now about why... Because it's almost like what people... That sounds like the friend zone, but the friend zone is often talked about as like a gendered thing, and it's what women do to guys, but it sounds like...
It's exactly the same thing with men. Like, because the thing is it's not... And neither, by the way, neither one of us are doing it on purpose. Women are not doing it to men. I've put you in the friend zone. If there's a woman out there who has put a guy in the friend zone... You're an asshole. If there is a man who has put a woman in the friend zone, that is an interesting gentleman. I don't know what's happening there, because that seems less likely, so weirdly enough.
Hmm.
Sexism, right there. It's reared its ugly head.
Hmm.
Anyway, that guy's also an asshole, I guess. Hmm. But the thing is I genuinely think that there's a window. And then once you get to know somebody, you can get to a point where you're like, well, no, I respect them as a person. I don't want to have sex with them. I don't want to think of them sexually without their consent, but I don't know. And they're like, oh, but there's a woman that I don't know very well, so I can think of her sexually without her consent. Or there's a guy that I don't know very well. I can think about him. It's like, oh, that guy's hot. Look at his ass.
Like, objectifying someone for sexual purposes has to be separate in our minds from knowing someone as a person.
That's how it's always been in my case. I'm not saying that anybody else is doing that.
It's an interesting thought.
And it's been done to me, where you're just like, because later, like, you know, like in high school, if you ever run into somebody from high school 15 years later or whatever, and they're like, I had a giant crush on you in eighth grade, and you're like, why didn't you say something? Because I was available. No? I had a crush on you. But nobody had any words for it.
Yeah. No, I wish that happened so much more. I didn't... I think I've had one person say that to me about school. It was pretty exciting. Yeah. I liked them too. But of course, we didn't know. We didn't know.
Right. You didn't know. And the window is closed.
Yeah.
But you can reopen it if you want to force the issue, but it's crazy.
So.
Yes.
You get married.
I get married.
Or you fall deeply, like, you know.
Yeah, we fall in love.
Yeah, that happens.
We end up hanging out 3 months, and then he tells me he loves me. Very exciting. In the car. All of our big conversations happen in the car for some reason. Mm-hmm.
Driving?
He's driving. Mm. And he's like, I love you. And I said, I think I love you. And he says, you love me. and he was correct. Mm-hmm. And, you know, gutsy stuff. And then we date for about a year, and then we move into this house. Mm-hmm. He buys a house. I am sweat equity. I think about keeping my apartment in a mad about you kind of way.
Wait, you sweat equity?
Sweat equity is the person who works at a business, and you get percentage of profits. It's an econ term. I'll take it back.
Oh, okay. So, I like it. I want to look it up, but it also sounded slightly dirty.
Oh, no. It was not. And but we move in together. We go to visit his family. Both of his parents are from this little town in Mississippi. So we go and we meet all of his aunts and uncles and cousins and all these people. And they're all like, well, you should marry her. She's real nice. And so we're sitting. We move in together. We sit down. I think not that couch, a different couch. But we sit down and I say, and I don't know how to ask. Because I don't know how to ask. Are we going to get married? Are we going to... We just moved in together. We've been living together for a week. And I go, Andy, do you ever think about the future? That's as close as I can come to the sentence.
But you learned that from... Where did you learn that?
Like, I don't know.
It sounds like something I've heard before.
Right,
you know?
It's probably from some romance novel I read.
It.
Who knows? But he looks at me, he has this half smile on his face. He's like, you mean like having a 30-year mortgage with somebody? And I go, okay, point taken, never mind. And then 6 months later, he asked me to marry him.
Aww.
And he was like, I knew that I wanted you to marry, but he was having the ring made. And because he designed an engagement ring. And I had told him, because we talked about engagement rings on a separate, and I said, I don't want an engagement ring. I want a 42-inch flat-screen television. Because I'm never going to break it or lose it. And I got both. Huh?
Ah!
Bitches, man. We're never happy. Anyway, so.
Okay.
That was that.
Can I ask about married sex?
Married sex. We have it. We do it.
Oh, she's putting her finger in a closed fist. It's so dirty.
It's a dirty thing that we do. Except for that we're in eyes of the Lord, we've jumped over the broomstick. So we're safe.
Yeah. Yeah.
The baby Jesus is on board.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have married sex.
Someone wrote me recently, a little bummed out.
Dear Sandra. Yes.
Yeah, dear Sandra. Because I covered, I talked about monogamy in a live podcast a few months ago in DC, and it became about, like, it just sort of, you know, I can't always control a topic, and it really became about specifically the trepidation around monogamy and sort of the struggles with it, or not like struggles being monogamous and breaking out of it, but like the idea of forever.
Oh.
And the
yeah,
idea.
Yeah. Oh, just making it so big in your head.
Yeah, and so married sex, it's he was bummed out because as a monogamous listener, so many people came to the show that were poly and non-monogamous wanting to talk about monogamy.
He felt sad that there wasn't enough monogamy in that episode.
Right, and I was like,
there'll be another episode, sir.
Right.
There'll be another. That episode wasn't for you. It was for other people.
There will be hundreds of more episodes.
Before you make a dime, Sandra. Anyway.
But I realize I'm sitting with you here, and I mean, how long have you been together?
We have been together. We've known each other for a little, almost 11 years. And we've lived together for probably 8.
Does it ever scare you that is your one sex partner?
No, because I know why it would. If you thought of it like that, you were like, I'm never going to have sex with anybody else ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. I'm not saying I never look at guys and go, oh, I bet you that guy's awesome, or that guy's super foxy, or whatever. And I'm sure Andy does the same with the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
But there's... I think of it as sort of a one day at a time kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you're like, oh, well, and I don't want to be with anyone. I mean, the idea of having sex, that my laundry got done.
How exciting.
My house is full of sounds. And so, but the, I mean, I think of the future as, I don't think, I try not to think of the big picture, you know? We're going to be together for another... Whenever we say something along the lines of, it's going to be like that for 40 years, is it? And it's hilarious because it's just, you know, like sometimes I'll wash a dish. It won't be clean.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I've done a half-assed job. Let's just say it out loud. Occasionally, I've done hundreds of dishes. I've done thousands, millions. I've done those dishes 1,000 times, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he'll pull a dish out of the cupboard and he's like, this is not clean. And I'll say, and you, that will be a pattern throughout our entire lives. There will occasionally be an unclean dish that you will pull out of a stack of supposedly clean dishes. And then we will, what you'll do is you'll clean that dish or you will, grab a different dish. One of those two things will happen. So, I mean, I tend not to think of the big picture when it comes to monogamy. I tend to just think, oh, I'm going to get to have, I mean, the good news is I'm going to get to have sex with him again,
mm-hmm.
right? It's, Bobby Slayton did a joke a month ago. I was in Austin, Texas, and he has a new bit or an old bit, who knows, about how his wife's vagina is 60 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And who wants to sleep with a 60-year-old vagina?
Mm-hmm.
And I went up after him and I was like, don't you have a 60-year-old penis?
Yeah.
Why don't you thank your lucky stars that your 60-year-old penis is allowed anywhere? Especially in a vagina that is also probably willing to make you a sandwich. So why don't you get it together, brother? And he did not hear me. So I put it on a podcast. Bobby, you listening? You listening, Bobby?
Bobby, anyway, get it together.
Love your wife more. Write a different punchline. Or go for it and talk about your old-timey penis.
Oh my goodness, are these...
They're coasters.
Harry Otter. It's a Harry Potter otter.
We got him at Monterey at the aquarium. Oh. Harry Otter coasters.
Oh, where we put our...
I have an iron fist.
And I have a Star Wars cup.
Welcome to the Dork Forest.
Oh, I feel at home. That's nice.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now I'm going to get into the heavy stuff.
Let's do it.
We're already over 30 minutes, so we're not very long. Okay.
But it's been good. It's been good, I think.
Yeah, you doing all right? Oh, yeah, it's been great.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Did you get anything? You got some comedy? You got some gold here? You got sex gold?
Yeah. What's funny is when I first started this podcast, because it was on Nerdist, people were leaving these really angry reviews like, you know, this is how you call this a comedy podcast? I'm like, no, fucker. Like,
I don't,
this is on the sex and health section of iTunes. You know, laughter also happens.
Right. I'm talking to comics, but we're not, I mean, there's not a lot of, I mean, it's.
Right, but I think.
But you want to talk about real life is what you want to do.
Exactly. And what I love about people who can be honest and look at their lives and comics, I appreciate a lot of comics who are able to do that. Is there's an honesty there that I can't find with a lot of people.
Right.
So that's part of the reason why I'm like, thank you for being you.
Yeah.
But there was a LARP It Out segment on...
Oh, right.
Yeah.
On the thing, yeah.
And really, you guys should get the album because there's a lot of great stuff on there. And
it's just about, you know, there's a lot of talk about sexual abuse now, and there's a lot of talk about... And on the album, I talk about how the weirdest thing about being married is having sex with the same partner over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've never had this much sex with one guy before,
and
we're in it, we're doing it, this is what's happening. And like you said, it's just me and him, and we will be having sex forever. And it's just going to be us so far. So, I mean, that is the decision at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in favor of it. But sometimes we'll be having sex, and I'm not his only partner in life that I've ever been, and he's not the only partner I've ever had in life. And I've had some bad sexual experiences. And so, you know, a couple of times we've been having sex, and he'll remind me of a bad sexual experience.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he is having sex with someone who is crying.
Yeah.
And I'm so not alone. I mean, it's mm-hmm. so funny. When I do that joke on stage, audience, women, it'll be like, women will just sort of sit up and go, is she really talking about when you just lie there silently crying and he's having sex and you're like, no, I know it isn't the bad person who had sex with me. This is fine. It's going to be fine. It's good. He's almost done. It'll be fine.
So you see the eyes in the
audience. I see amazing. The eyes in the audience. And I've had women come up to me afterwards and they're like, oh my God, thank you for talking about that. Cause that is true, you know? And it's a weird thing where I think many women, not necessarily all women, you know.
And I'm sure some men as well.
And yes.
Plenty of men who are like,
I don't want to have to think about this thing to get off, but for some reason I'm reminded of this horrible experience, and it's making me even harder. And so now I'm going to be fucking the person I love, but with this horrible memory in me.
When part of your arsenal of fantasy that helps get you off, some of it comes from a sexual abuse history.
Yeah.
And that can feel really twisted.
It feels really twisted where you're just like, no, I don't want to be turned on by that. That was a horrible thing.
Yeah.
And I love this person.
Mm-hmm.
And so your body goes, well, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
No, your body is a giant animal that just is like, no, remember it was sex though. And sex is great. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, but that was dumb sex. I didn't like that. Mm-hmm. And your body goes, what? I wasn't listening. And so you just keep going along. And so I have had the sex where I just cry and lie there. And then I was like, well, let's talk to him about it. Uh-huh. Because we're going to be doing this.
Like it had recurred.
It happened a couple of times. Uh-huh. And then...
So did you hide the tears before?
Oh, completely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just because why? You know, I was like, well, why bum him out?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, oh, let me not ruin your experience. Yeah. I'll just hide myself.
It'll be fine. It'll be over in a couple of minutes. And he's not doing, he's not the bad guy in this. And then I was like, but it felt like a lie. Mm-hmm. You know, it felt like, because he does want me to have a good time. He doesn't want to have sex with me while I'm crying. That is not one of his fantasies, right? So I decided to talk to him. And I was like, boo-hoo, sad thing. And so I talked to him about it. And I was like, you know, it just reminded me of a horrible, horrible time. And so I'm just going to, I'm going to need a minute. Mm-hmm. We may not be able to finish this. And he's like, oh my God, let's not. And we have the rest of our lives to have more sex. So there'll be more sex in our lives.
It's funny that when we take a chance with vulnerability and sharing and intimacy, the compassion, like this, it's almost can be surprising, the compassion that comes
from
the person.
Right. I mean, if you think about it, I don't know. I mean, I haven't had a limitless number of one night stands, but even one night stand guys were like, did you have a good time? I'm leaving and I'm never calling you. But that was fun, right? Did you have a good time? Mm-hmm. So everybody wants everyone to have a good time. So how much more the guy who married me?
He recommended a possible healing, like let's LARP it out.
Right, because everything to my husband, Andy Ashcraft, Giant Stance Games, has a game mechanic. Everything is a game. Everything can be solved. The economy, politics, jury duty, everything has a game mechanic to it, right?
I want to talk to him about game things. I find games so interesting. I'm so curious about that.
He's fascinating, and he's very, very smart, and he's a good egg. But here's the thing. I said, you know, this was the bad memory. Mm-hmm. This is the horrible thing that happened. And he's like, that's horrible. What we could do is we could LARP it out. We could live action role play it, set up a couple of chairs in the kitchen, pretend we're on the bus, and go through the bad situation, but it'd be with me. Mm-hmm. And he's like, which is gutsy stuff, because, you know, I told Hardwick this on Nerdist, and that was before I was doing the bit. It was right when I started thinking about doing the bit on stage. Mm-hmm. And it was... You know, there is a risk to it, you know, that, I mean, Andy Ashcraft is not a trained sexual therapist. He is a game designer. So, a sexual therapist would be like, well, that could have backfired. And then you could have just completely you know, never wanted to have sex with him again because he's now that guy,
mm-hmm.
the horrible guy on the bus.
Have you ever asked a sex therapist about it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, I'm so curious if they'd right. be all like, right on or fuck, you know, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I would imagine it would be in the entire spectrum
huh.
of fuck to good idea.
So, okay, you role play it out. Like right. you get on board.
I get on board and we do it and it's, I cry and I yeah. laugh.
Because, is it kind of cheesy and you have to yeah. tell him the part he has to play and the things
yeah,
he has to do?
Yeah, it's completely cheesy.
Uh-huh.
And it's sad, and he's, like, horrified that this happened, uh-huh. and he's sad. And so he's choked up, and I'm crying because it's gross, and he's like, it's gross, but no, it's just us, right? We're just the ones doing it. Are you still turned on? Are you still turned on? And I'm like, now I'm turned on. It's you. And he's like, yes, it is.
Getting a little teary-eyed.
Right, because he's awesome, right?
Yeah. I mean,
and it's gutsy stuff because it could have gone mm-hmm. in any direction, right?
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know that I would recommend it for mm-hmm. everybody, but mm-hmm. it was certainly something that, I mean, it was, you know, we took back the night, man. It was triumph yeah. of the will.
So question, after this, there sounds like there was a reparative element there.
To it.
Or a healing element, have those triggers like every so often does it come back and or is it kind of since then sort of dissipated? Like
it's dissipated.
Whoa.
It's dissipated. It doesn't when it happens, he doesn't ever do it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like he doesn't do, hey, remember this weirdo creepy thing that happened to you, which would be a horrible, horrible funny. That's
yeah, yeah,
not
yeah.
a funny thing.
No.
That would actually it turns out Andy's brain is attached to the rest of him. And so he is not, you know, he's not gonna mm-hmm. fucking poke it. He's not mm-hmm. gonna but if it comes up, like if I remember it, I bring it up. I don't mm-hmm. he doesn't bring it up. You know, he's like, I am there for whatever you wanna do. And mm-hmm. whatever, and I'm like, well, if there's anything you want to do, I'll give that a shot. Yeah. And he must have some ideas, but he has not brought it up. It might involve me in a Xena the Warrior princess costume. Who knows what it is?
I text me when that happens. I don't know. Follow up, married sex. No, that's really exciting. It's so interesting to me that. So much of it is judging ourselves and hating what turns us on or little wires being
yeah.
crossed. And to kind of actively, proactively go, yeah. And him to say, like, give you permission and, like, yeah, it's okay that this is
right.
arousing and just kind of go with it.
Right.
And you don't have to get too, like, gratuitous about it, but just let's go through the things. And then
yeah,
it kind of
like,
releases
like,
it, like it flies off to heaven.
Yeah, yeah. It's Christmas lights, you know? It's cats in the cradle yarn. You know, it's all tied up.
Mm-hmm.
And we spend all of our lives trying to untangle
mm-hmm.
all of these weird connections that hurt our feelings or remind us of things that hurt our feelings and that we beat ourselves up from. And if you can straighten out the garden hose, if you can straighten out, it's beautiful, you know? You can use it in a way that... your life is still useful, you know?
Yeah.
Where you're not beating the shit out of yourself for something that doesn't even, in some cases, most of the times, wasn't your fault. Sometimes, it's not going to do any good for you to beat yourself up about it anyway.
No.
And for the love of God, sex is supposed to be fun. You know?
It is.
Let yourself have a good time. Mix it up.
So,
yes.
Last question then.
Okay.
Did you ever dress up like a shark?
I never did. I never did. And I was like, he's never told me what he really wanted me to dress up as.
So that was just like, for background, there was, zoning out.
Right. He's talking to me and he says, so you would wear a costume in bed. And I said, what kind of costume would you want me to wear in bed? And he goes, a shark. And he actually said shark. And he has never told me what he really wanted me to. Because my theory is he just came up with shark because he didn't think I would say yes mm-hmm. in the moment. And so... And there, I may not have had the nicest tone of voice either. I may have said, what kind of costume would you want me to wear? Where he was, then he got shy or he got scared to, because men, you know, everybody's scared to ask for what they want.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he was like, well, I would really like you to dress like whatever, you know, whether it's a zoo animal or not, he would like me, you know, maybe he didn't. Maybe he wants me to dress up like Russell Crowe. Maybe that's something. Seems unlikely. I don't know which Russell Crowe, Mad Max, maybe he wants me to, Tina Turner, maybe he wants me to wear blackface. That would be wildly inappropriate. I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, the most inappropriate thing that he would want me to do.
Oh.
A man, another race, what would be, like, the thing that would be bad?
But then with all that, like, let's say he were listening to this, then he'd feel bad because it would be something, you know, so run-of-the-mill, maybe.
Right, maybe it's a French maid's outfit.
Yeah, he just wants you to dust first, you know?
Oh, my God, he does not want me to dust, because I do dust. Yeah. Okay. He's like, are you cleaning? Why are you cleaning? Because when I clean, he's like, now I have to clean because you're cleaning. And I'm like, I like the sound of that. Let's do it. We'll be done in half the time.
Jackie Cation, where can people find you out in the world?
Out in the world. I don't know when this will go up, but...
next week.
Oh, next week? Okay. So I'm going to Wyoming with Maria Bamford next week. Very exciting. And then I'm all over the place. I'm in Ohio. I'm in Indiana. I'm in Illinois. And then I'm in Portland, Oregon. And then I'm all over the place. But JackieCation.com has all of my dates and stuff, and Twitter, at Jackie Cation. And I was on At Midnight, so if you want to go online, or Conan. And
were you nervous? I feel like that is nerve-wracking.
Yeah, because you got to... It's hashtag stuff, and I am not... I don't write a lot of one-liners.
Uh-huh.
So you got to come up with these hashtags and with the captions and the... And my go-to... If you are trained in improv, you are very, very good at this because you can trust your inner self. If you are trained in stand-up and you are told to improv, you will go for the dick joke or the super inappropriate joke almost immediately. And so it came to pass. so I did all right. Awesome. But Tommy Jonigan did better. He's a good egg, though. So he was on fire. He was really, really funny.
I think I may have seen that one.
It was with Bamford as well.
I was with
Maria Bamford, myself.
My partner will put on. I like silence. I don't even play music. Kind of just sort of like.
You're gonna work to silence.
Yeah, and so where my partner likes a lot of music, sound everywhere, and so when the TV's on. Like I will like it and also be repelled by the TV. I like the TV and I hate the TV.
Fair enough. It is both lovely and horrible, the television. Yes, you are correct.
Anyway, thank you so much for taking time. I really appreciate talking.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.